Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton and Ben is sick.
He's got the plops.
He does have the plops.
Oh no.
Which again, I feel like we have to stress, does not mean that he has plops. It just means that he is not in work today.
But he might do.
He might have the plops, but that's not our place to tell you if he has the plops.
No. And I don't, we don't
and
know.
I don't know. No, he's not sent a message being like, sorry,
way,
I have plots.
Messaging from the toilet.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's anyone's guess.
Yes. But the show, as they say, must go on. So we're going to do a podcast for you.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It is going to be great. I feel great about it. I'm
Me
looking
too.
Forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you look, your hair's nice.
Thanks.
You're looking on point today
Thank
for this podcast.
You. Thank you very much. I believe you have a sponsor for
I
this
do.
Podcast.
Yes. It's, hey, did you know about that game that came out ages ago where you build a place like a penitentiary where people get punished for doing crimes?
Yeah.
And you have to like manage it and look after it and stuff. Well, the people who made that, whatever they're called, didn't do my research, but hey.
Them. Those guys.
They're bringing out something else now.
Yeah.
It's another one.
Been delayed again.
Has it?
September now.
Oh, well, this is a less relevant spot. Well, no, the reason that one's been delayed is because they've got this other one is coming out.
Yeah.
Where you still are building a penitentiary.
Yeah.
But you're doing it under the supervision of Neil Buchanan, and you're building it out of just pouring salt on the floor on a big piece of black paper.
It's a ghost prison.
It is a ghost prison, and it's called Prison Art Attack.
Two,
yes. Because they did one before, you might not have heard
of
it.
Wow. Is it still have the same style, or is it like it's in the style of Art Attack?
Yeah, just sort of bits of old tissue paper and PVA glue. And,
cool.
Yeah, occasionally.
Have they got that creepy head?
Yeah, I was going to say, occasionally it cuts to a head who says, ho-ho, 10 years for you. Ha ha, and that's it.
Yeah, he's like the sorting hat, but like giving people prison sentences.
Yeah, it just gives you your sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. There's no rhyme or reason. He just dictates how long you're going to be there.
Except it's not real.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry about that.
What is real, though, is that they have delayed that game again.
Oh, no.
It's supposed to come out in March, then they delayed it to May, and now they've delayed it to September.
Because I looked up games coming out in May for the sponsor, and it was listed as May. So that article I found has not been updated.
No.
But you
would know.
Do you
know what has been updated?
Yeah?
The spreadsheet that I make that's got all the games.
The spreadsheet and the forecast that you do.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's professionalism right there.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not sponsored this week or any week by Prison Art Attack. But what we are sponsored by is our patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $5 per month, hey, Ben's not here, anything could happen.
We never get to do this bit.
No. And then I, you know, he says, I sit here and listen to it every week, but it doesn't actually go in, clearly.
Yeah.
$5 a month, you get access to all kinds of rewards, including podcast adjacent rewards, but also things like early access to Worst Games Ever and Weirdest Games Ever and special shows that are only on Patreon. It's all very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So head over there and you will be sponsoring us. Thank you. It keeps the lights on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We didn't do that.
We didn't do that. Dead Island's not here.
No.
No.
What next? Housekeeping?
Yeah, I guess there's a couple of things out slash happening this week. In case you missed it, we did a D&D stream on Thursday. Mm. It's Wednesday right now. So who knows how well that went? Can't wait to find out. It's going to be great. And I'm assuming it was great.
Was Ben there?
Fingers crossed.
Probably.
Because if he wasn't, kind of maybe messes things up a little bit.
I spoke to Kat this morning and I said, will it be a problem if he's not there? And she said, I can work around it.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be there.
He'll be there. But if you did miss it, and if you want to find out if he was there or not, you can go to the VODs channel and check it out if you fancy. There's also maybe something else coming out this week.
It's not coming out this week.
It's not coming out. Never mind then.
No.
Maybe next week you'll find out what that was.
Yeah, but it's not happening. But what is coming out this week, is this for every... Yes, it is. Worst games ever. Indy and his Jones.
I don't know which one it is because whenever people fill in the spreadsheet...
Ben Potter.
He doesn't put the actual name of the games in.
No, it's Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings.
Cool.
Yeah. So that is a worst games ever that was available to people on Patreon 2 days early. And for everyone else, if you're listening to this podcast just as it's coming out, then it's available for you tomorrow.
Yeah. Last things, we've got a website. It's triplej.mup. Over there, you can find our YouTube, Twitch, Discord, Cameo, all kinds of things. Merch is at triplejumpshop.com. This hoodie's available. I was also wearing it, but I've taken it off because I'm blasting ourselves with 23-degree heat in here.
This is not available anymore.
No, no.
Actually, I think we were for a time selling legacy logo content.
Yeah, it might still be available. And of course, patreon.com/teamtriplejump if you'd like to support us.
Yes.
Is it time for question one, Peter?
It is time for question one from someone who has supported us on Patreon. Mm-hmm. It's Chris McVeigh who says, hi, Bap. The Japanese age rating system for video games, Zero, I don't know what that stands for, C-E-R-O, has attracted some attention for passing Stellar Blade uncensored with a D rating, or appropriate for age 17 plus, more like double D rating, am I right? No?
She's got boobs.
Despite containing depictions of gore. Oh, it's not even about the nudity, but it is also, it has nudity in it, doesn't it?
I think she's just a little bit sexy.
Oh, I thought she was like,
I don't think there's
almost
full
naked.
Nip, but I think
no,
like,
no, there's not full nip.
She's not nude, but she's definitely like
wearing almost nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she's got boobs. She has the important point.
Put an age rating. She has boobs.
Yeah. If any game features anyone with boobs, 18
man
plus,
or woman boobs.
Yes. Zero generally has a stronger stance on gory violence than other ratings boards, including refusing to give Dead Space a classification at all last year. So this decision has been met with some surprise and confusion. Considering situations like this with Zero and issues like Peggy's inconsistent stance on gambling or the age-old phenomenon of young children playing 18-rated games online, my question is, are age ratings fit for purpose? Thanks, Chris. Do you want to go first, Ashton?
Yeah, sure. I think the issue with age ratings is that obviously every country does them individually. And certain countries are a little bit more strict than others, which then tends to result in games either being banned or being kind of overly rated in certain areas. And I think a lot of it comes down to just like the sensitivities of the governing bodies. And I also think a lot of it comes down to kind of like what's happening at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that things are rated maybe harsher or less harsh, fewer harsh, if it's kind of like a time of peace and things are chill. Things like gory games tend to be, I think, a little bit more allowed. However, I do think that it is important that age ratings are on games. I do think sometimes that like some things are gratuitous, and I know, of course, there's like certain games like Dead Space that are famous for kind of gory, horrible deaths. But I do think that, yeah, maybe kids shouldn't be playing these games, and I think it's fine that they are age rated and that a 10-year-old can't go into their local game on their birthday with their birthday money and buy a game like Dead Space because they don't need to be playing a game like Dead Space. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of games for a 10-year-old that are much more suitable and contain way less getting minced by doors and horrible traps. So I do think that age ratings are potentially sometimes skewed in certain ways and do tend to sometimes seem like they're a bit overly sensitive and sometimes feel like they are just nothing because they don't make any sense. Mm-hmm. But I do also think they're very important. And I think that, not to sound like a Karen, but I do think that kids shouldn't be playing games that are this gory. And I think that, I mean, really, what's the difference when you're 16 and 18? There isn't that much difference, but there is a big difference when you're 16 and you're 10. Yeah. And I think like that's where things start to get a bit skewed. It's like, where's the minimum age? You let kids watch a man get his head chopped off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. To quote the old VHS like pre-roll thing, video certificates are there to give you the chance to make the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, she would say. Mm-hmm. And I think, although clearly there's some inconsistencies here and these bodies are evidently not necessarily doing the very, very best job or the most consistent job that they could be doing, at least they exist at all. I think, like, are age ratings fit for purpose? I think clearly there could be a more consistent job being done, but certainly I don't think that they should sort of go out the window now just because there are some occasions where things aren't done the same way that they were done with the previous game that came out or whatever. So it's good to just have something on a game box saying, this is an 18, this is a 16. All right, maybe the stuff in this 16 that we banned in the previous 18 or whatever, but generally speaking, parents can at least get a vague idea of like, oh, maybe this is or is not appropriate for my child. Mm. And likewise, people who run game shops get the same idea. The one that always surprises me is Australia. They're
sensitive about
it. You associate them with just being hardcore, like, you know, anything goes kind of country, but actually with kind of censorship and stuff, particularly in video games, they can be quite sensitive about it. And I think actually a lot of like governmental, I think it's a bit, I won't say a nanny state, but it's more like that than you would expect from the place where it's just spiders.
Yeah, just the government just is spiders. Run by spiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think also like, and I've not played Stellar Blade or seen that much about it because it's not really my bag, but I think also it comes down to where the gore is coming from.
Yeah.
Because I think if it's coming from monsters and things that are very clearly not human, I think it's almost all right.
Yeah.
But when it's like a man being killed over and over and it's a human man, I think there's where the issue lies. A lot of these games that are higher regulated often show body horror in the sense of like an actual human body rather than a horrible monster or an animal or something, which I think is almost a little bit more allowed because there's a sense of like two steps removed from a monster being killed than watching like a man get shot in the head.
Sometimes just the color of blood gets changed and that can that can affect a rating, you know. It can, if you change it from red to green or something, it can kind of bring it down. I went to see King Kong Godzilla X Kong, or whatever it's called, recently.
Godzilla kissed Kong?
Godzilla did kiss Kong. It was so romantic at the end. In that, this is not a spoiler, it's right at the beginning, he kills a couple of like low-level monsters, and their blood goes all over him, but it's green goop. And apparently, like, the director or the writer or someone was in an interview afterwards saying, like, I specifically made it green because if I'd used red, that would have been, like, a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how even just something like that is like, oh, no, it's a different color to the humankind, so that's all right.
Yeah.
And I think that has happened with a few games in the past where a specific release in a specific region, they have changed the color of the blood and everyone else gets like red blood and someone else gets blue or something. But I think they're fit for purpose, or they should at least keep going, maybe just do a bit of a better job with consistency.
Exactly. I think if it was more standardized, I think things would be easier to like justify, but it's not, but that's okay. Just if you're 17, just wait a few months to play your game. Who cares about big blood? There's like, you can play Fortnite. Play Fortnite instead.
Go play
kids.
Fortnite.
Kids play Fortnite, all right?
17-year-old kids play Fortnite.
Yeah, there's no blood in Fortnite.
Child.
It's time now for a segment that, while Ben's not here, I thought we could try it out. And then if we like it, we can bring it to him next week.
Okay.
I think we should call it What We Play In.
Right.
It's What We Play In time. Time to talk about the games, what we have been playing. Mm-hmm. Peter,
yep.
What have you been playing?
Change the record, Peter. Change the game. No, I won't. I've played some more Tomb Raider 3.
Cool.
Which I talked about last week.
Yeah.
And I've talked about all the other Tomb Raiders for about a month.
To be fair, I was playing Final Fantasy VII for like ages.
Yeah, that's true. And at least, you know, technically I'm playing...
It's a different game.
Started a new game last week. Yeah. But I'm enjoying that. That's great. It was in the weird news. It's in weird news this week. In fact,
spoilers.
Did we bring... Is that the one I brought?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I couldn't even remember. But yeah, you'll find out about that soon.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I've played some more Skyrim as well. And the whole reason I started this new run into Skyrim is because there's still stuff that I've not done, like fairly like mainline stuff, like not the actual main quest, but the Bard's College was the first one that kind of got me thinking, I should play that and like see what that's like. But also, there are things like... There were even kind of like certain dungeon types that I just didn't really used to go into very often. I'd always go into a cave or like a bandit hideout or something like that, but I wouldn't tend to go in like the big stone ruins, for example. I don't know why. I just sort of, I had my preferred dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, right, this time I'm going to just like try and make all the decisions that I wouldn't have made on previous runs. That being said, as soon as I got to Riften, I started trying to join the Thieves Guild, which I've done on every single playthrough of Skyrim. And I'm having a good time doing it, but I feel like, you know, I should maybe stop doing that and go back to singing songs for the bards and things like that. And, you know.
Why not both? Can't you play them a tune and then steal their money?
And then nick something at the end. Yeah. So it's all going well in any case. I'm having a good time. Am I slipping back into old habits? Yes, but... I'm enjoying it, so that's fine. But those are the only two things. In fact, did I play? No, we did. I was with some friends on the weekend, and we were going to play Jackbox, but we never got around to it. So those are the only things I've been playing this week.
I played a few things.
Mm-hmm.
On a similar vein to Skyrim, I've been playing some Fallout 4.
Yes, like a lot of people.
Yeah, however, right, I've been playing it on Steam, on PC, and I am desperate for this update because my... God, it takes 1,000 years to load out of areas.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually crazy. I'm sat there, like, for a full 2.5 minutes, if not longer, at a time, waiting for the game to just load me out of an area. And I have this really bad habit of walking to a door and pressing A without seeing if it says open
or if
it's going to take me outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to wait 2 minutes for it to load outside, and then I have to wait 2 minutes to load back into it.
Oh, God.
Because I'm like, I didn't mean to leave. But my God, I was like, I've been having a good time with it and I'm enjoying kind of meandering around. I'm making no progress to finding my child.
Who cares?
I am literally just meandering around, joining every team that wants me to be on their team. I'm like, yes, I'll be part of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a good time, but my God, my baby is going to be like 40 by the time I find him. That's fine. I just need them to please make the load times less.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to fix it. It didn't work. So I'm hoping tomorrow is when the update happens. I'm hoping that fixes it.
Okay.
That would be ideal. Aside from that, I have finished Carto, which I talked about last week, which is a really lovely game, and I fully recommend for anyone looking for an indie puzzler. Like, I had a lovely time with that game. And I finished Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I did have to Google some more of the answers to those puzzles.
That's all right.
Because some of them are a bit difficult. normally, like, if it was a puzzle one, it's fine. But as soon as it added in, like, combat, sucked at it.
Mm-hmm.
They could just kept killing all of my guys, and I was like, I don't know how to deal with these hordes of people with guns. And the last thing I played was on Netflix.
Oh,
on one of their games. I was kind of I was sat on my PC and I was like watching terrible movies while I was playing Fallout, because there's big gaps between where I was just watching a movie while it was loading.
Yeah, that's how long the loading screen
is. Yeah, yeah.
You can watch a whole film.
A whole film. But I found that their like game system, obviously like Oxenfree is on there and a couple of other weird ones. But one I hadn't seen before was called The Almost Gone. And it's a puzzle game. Again, and essentially it's like a point and click situation, but you are kind of seeing rooms from like above, and you can like spin the rooms to see the walls and travel around the house. And there's like a narrative going on that you've kind of found yourself in this weird, spooky realm, and you're trying to figure out what's going on and find somewhere safe.
Okay.
And I've been really enjoying that game. It's not very long. I think I've got maybe like another level left after what I've finished. But if you've got Netflix and you're looking for a quick game to play, give this one a go, because it's definitely, it's got a lot of lot going for it, and it's very pretty as well. So yeah, I've played that as well.
I've never played a Netflix game. I've not even played
Bandersnatch. No, neither have I. So. No, well, my Netflix will only work on a computer. Because it's not mine. So if I want to do it on anything other than just my computer or my desktop, it doesn't work, but for some reason always works on my desktop.
Okay.
So I've been playing it whenever I'm sat at my PC. I'm like, what games is on here? And it's mainly just that one and Oxenfree are kind of the big ones. Yeah. But there's a couple of other. They've got like an FMV game. Like a choose your own adventure rom-com.
Oh.
And me and my friends.
Made for you.
Yeah. Well, me and my friends started playing it a little while ago, but then got too drunk and didn't finish it. But yeah, there's one of those on there as well. Also, actually, there was a game on PlayStation Plus that I sat down to play last night, was immediately baffled and turned the PlayStation off.
Right.
It's called Neuro Play With Your Food.
Okay.
It's on, I think they've just added it to Extra because there was like Dave the Diver. This weird food game. And I downloaded Dave the Diver to play at some point. But I'd had a few drinks last night. I was having a self-care evening. Mm-hmm. And I was like trying to play this game. And I categorically have no idea how you play the game. I was like tapping all the buttons, making popcorn appear. And it was like a little rhythm thing. Kept being like, no, not on the rhythm. And I was like, where is the rhythm? What are you talking about? And then when I press it so quickly, it became like a weird warp thing. And I was like, am I doing well? I don't know.
I've never heard of this.
Give it another go tonight and see if I can figure it out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, weird game.
Yeah, strange.
Weird one.
Yeah. It's a shame it's not weird news next, because that would be a great segue.
It would be a great segue. I can say that again later if you'd
okay,
like.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll just ask you after question two. Have you been playing anything recently?
Yeah, that's a weird game about food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's a segue. Oh, weird game about food. More like the forecast.
Yeah. It's time for the gaming forecast.
Yeah.
It's time to talk games, and specifically games in May. And with AAA titles giving us a small break in their releases, there are still plenty of smaller titles releasing this month, and I want to tell you all about them. Set in a strange, hyper-religious world, Indica tells the story of a young nun, Indica, who is on a journey of self-discovery with her estranged horn companion, who just so happens to be the devil. The surreal third-person adventure sees her travelling outside the safe walls of her monastery and into a world straight out of a tragicomedy. This small dev team, who fled Russia after comments they made about the invasion of Ukraine, are also donating a chunk of their revenue to children impacted by the ongoing war. Indica launches on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox on May 2nd. If you've ever wanted to feel the absolute unregulated bliss of being a cat that is just meandering around a city causing a nuisance while wearing a cute little hat, well, then I have the game for you. May I present Little Kitty Big City? This little black cat has found itself lost in a large Japanese city and has to find its way back home in between stealing food, jumping on boxes, and helping other animals in the city. This adorable game is due to launch on May 9th on PC, Switch, Xbox Series, and it's day one on Game Pass. Also coming to Game Pass day one is Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, the follow-up to the brilliantly unique Senua's Sacrifice, which is also on Game Pass and well worth a play if you haven't played it already. Starring Senua, a woman dealing with psychosis, the third-person adventure game pulls some concepts and gameplay elements from the original, but tells a new tale of Senua as she battles through the darkness to save those affected by Viking marauders. With the promise of even more of the same brilliance from the first game, Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 is launching on PC and Xbox Series on May 21st. Another indie now in the form of top-down puzzler Paper Trail. Launching May 21st as well, the game follows Paper
Paige, who's leaving home for the first time and becoming the first in her village to go to university. Solve puzzles by folding the 2D environment like a piece of paper, and meet a whole cast of characters on your journey. The game is visually gorgeous and should be great fun for those looking for an adorable puzzle game to challenge and delight. Paper Trail launches on PC, Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, and mobile. Lastly for this month is twin stick shooter with a difference, Haunty. You play as a ghost with the power to command creatures and the environment itself, and solve puzzles in between combat that they have described as relaxed shooting action with a slower, more contemplative pace. Like many of the games out this month, this game has a beautiful art style and has a lovely story all about the story of Haunty, that's the ghosts, past life. Haunty launches on May 23rd on PC, Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox. So, that's May, and there's plenty to play ahead of June, which we all know is Gaming Showcase month and is sure to bring lots of games our way. Anyway, while things are still pretty quiet, let's head back to the podcast.
It's time now for question two.
Thanks, Ashton. That was great.
Thanks, Ashton. That was great. This comes from Ferris Wheeler. Hiya, Bap. Sources say a remake of Dead Space 2 is no longer in the cards. Second Dead Space reference in this podcast.
Oh my God.
For my part, I recall thinking the original still held up quite well, both graphically and in terms of gameplay. When the remake dropped, I was inspired to replay the original series, but ultimately saw no reason to spend the $60 to buy it again. While it was certainly prettier, and it was not as big of a leap as, say, the Resi 2 remake, going from clunky 64... yeah, graphics, to today's standard. With that in mind, what are your personal thresholds? Is it graphics, gameplay, quality of life, age, or something less definable? Much love, Ferris Wheeler.
Thanks, Ferris.
Thank you, Ferris.
I was kind of pleased to hear when the Dead Space remake, the first one, was being made. I was like, oh, great. I enjoyed the first Dead Space, and this will just be a convenient way for me to play it again. But I kind of agree that it probably didn't really need to exist. Certainly not in terms of like graphical upgrades or gameplay or anything like that. It holds up pretty well. For me, it was literally like, I'm willing to spend a bit of money, and I don't think I even did, because I think we got sent a copy of it, to be able to just have it on my current gen console. So that was just convenient. I think the one of the best reasons for a remake to exist is whether the game is no longer available in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, other than playing it on its original version, and you might, you know, need the hardware to do that. Mm. So with Dead Space, I know it was available sort of elsewhere, and that isn't an instance where the remake really had to happen in order for you to still be able to play Dead Space. But certainly I think that's one of the better reasons for a remake to happen, is, you know, kind of from a preservation standpoint. And then actually, if that's what you're doing, it only really needs to be a remaster, I would argue. But if you are going to do a remake or a remaster, and that's not your only reason, then ideally, yeah, it should be something that kind of requires an upgrade and doesn't necessarily hold up well. Like something like Shadow of the Colossus, I think, didn't necessarily need to be done again. Mm-hmm. You know, that game still looks and plays very, very well. Again, not as accessible for certain people, depending on what hardware they have, but, you know, there are various things to consider. But I also, I talked about this last week, actually, that, or maybe the week before, that I'd read some little throwaway remark on social media about how someone who used to be a really low involvement character in Final Fantasy VII had become like...
Yeah, Johnny.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Has a whole series of quests associated mm-hmm. with him, or minigames or something. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, oh, that's like really cool. If someone remade a game that I was really fond of, and there was just this like little background character that suddenly was like, hey, I've got a whole like quest line now, I would really like that. And so those are some things that I think make a really good remake, and maybe justify the existence of a remake. If you're able to say, hey, everyone really liked the original, but here's the original plus, you know, I think like to be able to add to something in a good way can be a justification for it.
Yeah. And we've seen remasters and remakes that we have deemed unnecessary.
Yeah.
The Last of Us 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I do think there is something about some... There's definitely like a criteria that, for me, definitely, that I think a game has to meet for me to be like, yes, let's remake it. Mm-hmm. A lot of the games that get remade, especially recently, are games that I have never played before.
Yeah.
Because they are normally like 20 years old, if not older. And a lot of these games have gameplay that's inaccessible to the modern gamer. They have a visual style that people who are kind of a younger gamer will not gravitate towards because they are so spoiled. And by they, I mean me. I am so spoiled by the current appearance of games. I'm not saying every game that came out 20 years ago isn't beautiful, because mm-hmm. there are some stunners in the mix.
But Final Fantasy VII is a good example of that. It's why I've never, you know, it's such a classic game that people talk about, and I've never bothered to go and play it because I just think too much time has passed and I can't play a game that looks like that.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of elements that where games have to be brought forward for them, for the modern gamer, because tastes have changed so much. And obviously also technology has advanced so much that a lot of people are not willing to go back and play these games because they are so far removed from the games that they enjoy now. But I do think that there is sometimes where it's like, we're remaking this game and it's a game that nobody has ever heard of, or it's a game that has a very niche kind of cult following, and I think that's great. Yeah, maybe they'll get some more fans, maybe the community will expand more, but I also do think that a lot of the time it feels like, especially now, it feels like a lot of games are just remakes or re-releases and there's not as many new IPs coming up. So I think a lot of people see these niche remakes and are like, but why not make a new game? Question mark.
It's less risky to just do remakes all the time.
It's true, it's true. But yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to how the game plays, how the game looks, and whether modern audiences are still picking it up. And Final Fantasy VII, obviously, again, has a lot of people who still play the original, Ben being one of them. But it's very much like a niche thing. You know, not a lot of people will play the new ones because they look nice and they have nice gameplay and it works for them. I do also think that if a PlayStation 3 game gets remade, I'm kind of fine with it, because that console was made by the devil and it trapped the souls of all of those games on it. So I'm all right with a PlayStation 3 game being brought to modern consoles.
Yeah,
so we can play it. But yeah, there's a couple of reasons. And I don't necessarily think age is a criteria. I just think that it's the style of game that we see.
Yeah. I think age factors in if it's just ridiculously recent, like The Last of Us Part 2. I think there was just no justification for that whatsoever.
No.
Other than, hey, some people will buy this and we'll make more money.
£10, please.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it even with all of these things that we've said are good, like, factors, it's difficult to, like, properly quantify. Like, I don't think I could write a perfect checklist or say, like, oh, if your game is, like, this age or has this level of, like, aged graphics, then that gets you 70% of the way, and then here you need some other justification. Like, it's difficult to, like,
it's
properly
case
put
by
it down.
Case.
Yeah, yeah, it often is. But yeah, I think those are some good ones.
Yeah. Well, we're absolutely steaming through this podcast. Our answers are concise, precise, and correct.
Yeah, they are. Hey, Ashton, do you remember during What We Play In, you were talking about some kind of food game?
Oh, yeah. Should I tell you about that game again?
Yeah.
It's a game where it's called Neuro Play With Your Food. And the first level was popcorn and the second level was putting cereal in a bowl.
Oh, that's weird.
Really weird. And also you could put food colouring on your cereal. Super weird.
Oh, very
weird. So you know what else is weird?
What?
Some of the news.
That's true. It's time for weird news.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms.
Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Weird news time. It's time to talk about weird video game news. Hey, if you want to send us some weird news, you can do so on the social media post that we put out every week on a
Tuesday.
And that is one way that you can potentially get your name read out on this section. But if you want to guarantee that your name gets read out during this section, you can do that by heading to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for a certain amount of money,
at a certain tier,
you can become a podcast producer and get your name read out at this part of the show, just like
Chip Thompson's Thumbs,
GY Goliath,
Nexus Polaris,
Nicole Hansen,
Andy Scott,
Blake Thomas,
I'm Way Too High,
Timothy Bentley,
Kyle Gary,
Sharman Nomo,
Great Giggity,
Melody L. Bonnet,
Katie Garrod,
Gabrielle Philippink,
I'm lost. Potato_Shack99.
Eric Sue.
And Big Money Bobby Vegas.
Wow. Thank you, podcast producers, for that. I feel like my lead into that was a lot quicker than Ben's. And I'm like, what did I miss out?
I think you were all right. I think you hit the bits that you needed to.
I hit the bits.
We've decided that Ben's slows us down on this podcast.
He must do.
He clearly, you know, takes his time answering questions.
Because we've only been going half an hour and it's weird news.
Maybe someone's going to be like, yeah, the reason it was so quick is because you didn't actually say anything. You just kind of talked, which...
Just sort of read the question out.
That's what a podcast is. Yeah. And then said yes or no and then moved on.
Yeah. Do you feel you're not getting your money's worth?
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll let us know in the comments. So.
Please do. I've got some weird news here that was sent to us via the Facebook post from James Matthews and Lloyd Williams.
No relation.
Both of them top fans.
Mm-hmm.
James Matthews, no relation.
Yeah.
But you're also a top fan. So in that sense, you've got something in common.
Yeah.
It's written by Ethan Gack, on Kotaku.com. It goes like this. Tomb Raider 3 update secretly nukes Lara Croft pinups.
Nukes them. As in, like, they were a really good, like, asset to have, and now they're...
Yeah.
Not as good.
Well,
the stats are bad.
Yeah, they've been nerfed.
Mm. Oh, that's the word. Yeah. I got confused between nerfed and nuked. Anyway, well, carry on.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Subheading is, sexy posters of the archaeologist have gone missing. Oh, no.
Who's taken them?
Well, this is weird, says Ethan. Weird news.
Thanks, Ethan.
Pinups of Lara Croft appear to have gone missing in Tomb Raider 1 to 3 Remastered following a patch earlier this month to fix a bunch of bugs. Whether intentional or not, some fans are now calling it out as heavy-handed censorship of retro classics.
Get a life.
Publisher Aspyr released the game's second update on April the 11th and mentioned a litany of changes, but nothing about upscaled posters of Lara Croft being removed from the locker room in the Sleeping with the Fishes level for Tomb Raider 3, The Lost Artifact. Though they still appear when playing on the original graphic settings, where they look like pixelated postcards, the walls thereon are now blank when the player switches to remastered graphic settings. Continue reading.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
The wokies have ruined the game.
Where am I going to get my sexy pictures of Lara Croft?
I'm sure you can't find them on the internet.
Those exact images exist on the internet, so...
Probably uncensored, too.
Well, yeah. If you need them for...
If
you need them for any particular reason, why do you have to actually navigate to them in-game, you know, rather than on
Is
the internet?
Is it her locker room?
I'm not sure, actually. I wasn't aware of this, so...
Me personally, I wouldn't have sexy pictures of me up in poster form
in your own locker room.
My locker room.
I was going to say, I don't think it's her locker room. I don't think she has a locker room.
Okay, so how did someone get those pictures of her? Big questions.
She's a big celebrity in that universe, so I don't know.
Okay, sorry, carry on.
Their removal was first noticed on the Tomb Raider subreddit before the discovery began trickling out to other quons of the internet last week. Quote, I thought it was BS, but nope, Crystal Dynamics played the OG fans. They censored out the pictures in the update, tweeted one person. Updates should never be used to retroactively censor games. It's a form of theft. Any company that engages in this bait and switch behavior should go bankrupt, tweeted another. To be clear, the original versions of the posters are still available in the games when played in the 1990s mode. So, you know, they've not removed what was in the original game. They've just taken out what they temporarily added in. Also, what was I going to say? Updates should never be used to retroactively censor games. What if they should, though?
I think they should. I think that's okay.
Yeah. What if a game that came out in like December 2001 happens to have a slightly awkward photo of like the Twin Towers in it that like made it look a bit like something was happening and it wasn't, you know, intentional, but like, oh, that doesn't look good. Maybe we should just patch that out. You know, that kind of thing has happened.
But that's patriotic,
in the past.
Peter.
It is patriotic, yeah.
Removing Lara Croft's boobs isn't patriotic.
That's not patriotic, no.
Land of the free.
Do you know what?
Give me the boobs, please.
If we let the boobs be removed, the terrorists are winning.
Exactly.
That's how I feel about this.
Exactly.
A warning at the start of the remastered collection informs players that Crystal Dynamics, the studio who holds the license
they
to the games,
hold it.
Previously made by Core Design, chose to retain offensive stereotypes and imagery to, quote, acknowledge its harmful impact, rather than erase those parts of the series' legacy. There's, like, racial stereotypes in there and strange characters and things.
Spyro did similar, didn't it, in the remasters?
Yeah, they kept... renamed Bombo to something... Or did they... They changed something about him.
They changed what people look like a little bit because there's a couple of racial stereotypes in that.
Yeah, there was a guy in Spyro 2 who like rides on a magic carpet and has a turban and throws bombs at you. And did they change his name from Bombo? I don't know. What they did do is change the guns in Spyro 1 into slime guns, which, you know, I was livid about.
It's unpatriotic.
Flipping Crystal Dynamics, somehow ruining Spyro. Neither Crystal Dynamics nor Aspyre seemed to have a problem with the pinups previously. In fact, they were promoted as one of 10 remastered details you might have missed a week after the collection's launch. Shortly after the latest patch removed the posters, Nexus Mods user Dario108 uploaded a mod to restore them in the PC version of the game.
Good.
Timur Gagiev, the maker of the popular open source port Open Lara, who ended up working for Aspyre on the remasters, retweeted Dario's link to the mod without saying anything further. Some took this as a sign that the change was intentional, despite some potential disagreement behind the scenes. Aspyre and Gagiev did not immediately respond to requests for comment.
I'm going to try and not be hateful about it.
Yeah.
So all I'm going to say is there's other ways to see boobs on the internet.
That's very true.
If you're so pressed that you can't see boobs in Lara Croft, hey, I've got big news for you.
What?
There's boobs all over the internet.
What?
If you go on Twitter and sometimes just look at some of my tweets, the replies, straight up boobs.
Yeah, I've seen boobs on Twitter just, you know, clicking on hashtags for things that are popular. Yeah. Hey, the bad batch.
I'm in the office.
Oh, more like the bad boobs. The boob batch.
Yeah. I'm in the office and I see a reply to my tweet. I click on it. Boobs.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, boobs in the office.
Yeah, so you, I saw that on a tweet that you did recently there goes my phone. In the replies, it was a link in bio spam reply,
but with
an actual photo of boobs.
Yeah.
Which I don't tend to get on my replies. It's just link in bio.
Recently started getting just straight boobs in my
hand. Goodness me.
I'm not complaining.
Follow Ashton on Twitter.
It's patriotic.
Yeah.
It's my right as an American to see boobs.
Assuming those boobs belong to the uploader or the person who owns that account, which normally they do because it's like for an OnlyFans or something.
Well, these are definitely bots.
Yeah, but are they not bots that are basically just
run by
but are they not just run by the person who has the OnlyFans?
Maybe.
I don't know. Hopefully they're consensual boobs.
Yeah.
But
salute to the boobs.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have some weird news. There's no boobs in this one.
Ah, what?
Sorry.
I'm going to go on Twitter.
While they're taking over.
While you read.
It's Crystal Dynamics, remove the boobs from this from weird this news. This comes from Amy Wicks on Facebook and Stephen Skodes on Twitter by GameSpot, by Luis Joshua Gutierrez.
Nice.
Maybe. A new Konami code for Castlevania was discovered 25 years after its release. It's the same age as me.
My God.
Here's what the newly discovered code does. Konami, the publisher behind critically acclaimed franchises such as Metal Gear, Silent Hill, and Castlevania, earned a reputation for slashing cheat codes for many of its older games. Just recently, fans of 1999 Castlevania Legacy of Darkness, it's actually younger than me, by a few months,
okay.
Discovered a previously unknown code that gives the name new life.
Gives the name
game new life. In a video explained by Jupiter Climb, a YouTuber who makes Metroidvanias and Konami games, this code makes it the definitive way to play Castlevania. All players have to do, and if you write this down, everyone.
Yeah, it's a complicated code. It's hard to remember.
Well, it actually is. All players have to do is input the original code twice, which is
up,
C up times four, C down times four. Okay. Up, 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 down, 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 left, left, right, right, left, left, right, right, L, R, Z.
Is that the Konami? I thought it was different. I was being facetious before, but I was wrong.
I don't. It's a new one, brand new one I've just found.
Right, it's a new Konami code.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think that's the actual Konami code.
After doing this, the players will unlock all playable characters alongside their alt uniforms. Prior to this, the only way to unlock all the characters was by beating the game twice.
Wow.
It's also worth mentioning the code unlocks the game's hard mode. To get it, all players must do is reach a save point, quit, and reload. Once they've done that, they can play the game on hard. That's not the only code that's newly discovered. Another allows players to max out their inventory, while others... Another one gives players 99 jewels. And the last one maxes out the power of the player's weapons and sub-weapons. So, yeah, new codes for Castlevania 64.
Brilliant.
If you want to do that.
Did it call it the Konami code in the headline?
It just says a new Konami code.
A new Konami. Okay, that's fine.
So,
I have checked it and I feel vindicated that it is what I thought it was.
Yeah, but it's not that.
No.
It's a different one.
So don't do that one.
Newly discovered.
You might break the game. You might remove the boobs if you...
Yeah,
the original Konami code.
It's the Crystal Dynamics code. It just removes all the boobs.
Should we do the big discussion?
Yes, let's.
Okay, big discussion.
It's big discussion time. Time for the big discussion. This one comes from Cameron Keywood. Hello, Peter and friends. Friend, singular.
Why? What? Why that? Thanks, Cameron.
Swedish gaming, because you're obviously the most famous host. We're just your friends.
Yeah.
And also, it'll make sense as we carry on.
Oh.
Swedish gaming conglomerate Embracer Group, boo, is to split itself into three distinct games and entertainment companies as Modi Group, Coffee Stain and Friends, and Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends.
That's right. I get it now.
Yeah. This feels like the part of the boss fight where the enemy is weakened into three smaller forms and we have a chance to defeat it. What are your thoughts on this? And are they trying to distance themselves from the Embracer name? Question mark. Cameron Keywood. Thank you so much.
Cameron Keywood. I've brought some information.
Oh, goody.
About this. It's according to TheVerge.com.
I'm turning this back on. Ready for the beep?
Beep, beep.
Oh, it double beeped.
Gaming giant Embracer Group is splitting into three companies.
Yes.
And they basically posted the most boring, long-looking statement on
that's how
Twitter.
They do everything. They do that because they're like, no one's gonna read all this, and in the middle somewhere it says, we are the devil.
Yeah.
And then you just carry on and you miss it.
It's like the terms and conditions that you agree to, or the terms of service on everything. In the middle it does say
we are the devil. No boobs for you.
Oh no. So Embracer posted this big, very dry looking statement on Twitter, and probably other places too.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the move will allow each entity, these three separate entities, to better focus on their respective core strategies and offer more differentiated and distinct equity stories for existing and new shareholders. They love their shareholders.
More shareholders.
Yeah, apparently. This move towards three independent...
Who is still investing in this? Like, who is a new shareholder?
I don't know.
Everything that's happened, you're like, I'll definitely put some money into this
one. Yeah, this sounds great.
What can go wrong? Anyway, carry on.
This move towards three independent companies reinforces Embracer's vision of backing entrepreneurs and creators with a long-term mindset, says Lars Vingefors.
Don't piss me off, Lars.
Co-founder and Embracer Group CEO, allowing them to continue to deliver unforgettable experiences for gamers and fans across the globe. I think it was Lars who was recently quoted in an article this week as saying...
There's a lot of blame
that I need to take or something.
Yeah, well, he's also the one that said Embracer was never about the gamers, it was about the shareholders.
Yeah, yeah.
Idiot, Lars. Idiot, stupid man.
He sort of put his hands up and said, yeah, it was me, but hey, it was always the plan. So, you know, thanks, Lars. I think it was Lars who said that. So this Verge article basically summarizes what the three new companies are. Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. This company, which will be renamed from Embracer Group, so they're kind of keeping Embracer Group alive through this one, technically, is described as a creative powerhouse in AAA game development and publishing that will retain ownership of the Dead Island, Killing Floor, Kingdom Come Deliverance, Tomb Raider... and the Lord of the Rings IPs. I hope they don't start censoring that. That'd be really bad. There's the Asmodee Group, a new arm dedicated to publishing and distributing tabletop games. The existing catalogue includes established titles like Ticket to Ride, Seven
Wonders.
Oh,
I love that game.
Good game. Azul, don't know what that is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Catan, Dobble, and Exploding Kittens.
Oh, they own Exploding Kittens,
apparently. Asmodee, or... Asmodee, I don't know how you emphasize it.
Asmodee sounds
Asmodee
right.
Is also developing licensed tabletop games based on the Lord of the Rings, Marvel, Game of Thrones, and Star Wars franchises. Embracer anticipates the spin-off and share listings will take place within 12 months. So you can become an Embracer shareholder within 12 months if you want.
Oh my God, better start saving up.
Yeah, and it is all about the shareholders.
It's all about me. In that case, it will be all about me.
Yeah.
I'm a gamer and a shareholder.
Mm-hmm, that'll be fantastic. Coffee Stain and Friends, described as a diverse gaming entity that will focus on indie, mid-market, and free-to-play games. Properties sitting under this new company include Deep Rock Galactic, mm-hmm. Goat Simulator, Satisfactory, Wreckfest, Teardown, and Valheim. The share listings are projected to become available in 2025.
I'm glad we're finding out more about what games they actually
own. They actually own, yeah.
Because I had no idea they owned Valheim or Goat Sim.
No, I didn't. I mean, it makes sense because
they own everything.
Everything. Yeah. But yeah, you just sort of like read this article and it's like, that one. Oh, this one.
Yeah.
Oh, Marvel Spider-Man. No, it's not there. But yeah. I mean, Cameron says this is a bit like where the boss gets split into three weaker forms that potentially you could take down. I mean, maybe. I want to be really optimistic about this and say, hey, look, it sounds like they've taken a look at like everything they've been doing, all the bits that have been going wrong for them, even though it's not
which
about the games,
everything.
Which is everything.
Yeah.
And they said, how can we like do a better job with this? Because we've got so much stuff that we can't possibly like spin all these plays. So if we, you know, delegate into three entities, then all right, the former entity that was called Embracer, that's now, which one is it?
Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. Terrible name.
Really bad name.
Who are the friends?
Yeah.
Who are the friends?
And why?
Is it the shareholders? Because it's certainly not the developers.
Why put Middle Earth in the...
Middle Earth Enterprises.
In the main title when, yeah, all right, I understand that they've got the Lord of the Rings license, but also Tomb Raider is in there.
Well, they can't put Tomb Raider in Friends because they've got no friends right now because they got rid of all the
That's
groups.
True, yeah. You know, Dead Island as well is at least recent and relevant-ish. At least so that now has all of their bigger entities in it by the mm-hmm. sounds of it, and they can, you know, that entity can then focus on, hey, ooh, there goes my phone again. We can focus on making some AAA stuff.
Yeah,
that's our job, that's what we will do. And then, you know, you've got your smaller and your free to plays and your mobiles all under a separate one.
Coffee Stain and Friends. Terrible name.
Yeah, they're all bad names. I mean, Asmodee Group is
Asmodee's
all
right. Fine. Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah.
so this might be a good thing maybe they are going to have a bit more focus, a bit more kind of drive in certain directions, in three different directions, which is a good thing, rather than just one great big corporation kind of having more than it knows what to do with.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. That's me just trying to be positive.
Yeah, I mean, who could have possibly predicted that an amorphous blob of game development studios would have failed?
Yeah.
Not us. We've been Team Embracer this whole time.
We have.
One thing about us is that you can look back at all of our content and you'll see how much we love Embracer. Love it.
Love him.
Love him. So I'm so excited. Anyway, this is kind of weird. I see why they're doing it. I think part of it is, like you say, to be more like have a more centralized department for each thing, mm-hmm. like how a business runs.
Yeah.
You have teams that are in charge of certain things. You don't just have a million teams and nobody knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
However, I also think they are fighting to get rid of Embracer as their name, because
yeah.
Embracer has become synonymous with bad things mm-hmm. and bad takes, terrible takes, and just in general trash. So I think part of it is that they are trying to get away from being Embracer and away from like the narrative that has formed around them by creating these new studios.
Yeah.
However, I, like you say, I'll be a bit positive, and I would love to see a lot of these games have new titles. I'd love a new Tomb Raider game.
Mm-hmm.
Only Fazboobs. And there's a lot of these games, these like IPs that we know that they have that I am a fan of. So I would love to see them do more with it.
Yeah.
One thing we've said quite a lot is that like we struggled to kind of find a game that Embracer has released that has done really well and has like become a hit slash works well slash isn't just immediately forgotten about. So hopefully with these new, more focused studios, we will end up having more quality games coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hold my breath though, because we've not had a good Lord of the Rings based game in a while.
Yeah.
I'm not really a Lord of the Rings gal myself, haven't watched them or read them. But I will appreciate a fantasy world. I know there's a Lord of the Rings game coming out soon that's like a kind of a settlement building.
Yeah, the dwarf game.
The dwarf one.
Yeah.
But and I assume that's Embracer, given that they own the Lord of the Rings.
It looked pretty Embracer.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where I can see why they're doing it. It makes sense. Should have done it months and months and months ago before mm-hmm. everyone lost all those jobs and before all those studios were shut down. But if this means that there's no more jobs getting lost, if this means these studios can stay open underneath these new umbrellas, then maybe it isn't a bad thing. I didn't realize that they had so many tabletop games.
No.
I didn't realize that they were even in that sphere mm-hmm. at all. So this was news to me. But if we're looking at getting more single A or double A games, or triple I, as they now like to call themselves, indie games, then yeah, I'm all for it. I'm quite famously a fan of a lot of indie games,
yeah.
So I'd love more of those. And a lot of these, like I say, AAA titles are ones that I would like to see new iterations of, slash improvements on, slash fun games as part of their umbrella name.
Mm-hmm.
The names are crap.
Yeah, they
so
are.
So bad.
Really bad.
Like, why wouldn't you just call yourselves Coffee Stain? Why and Friends? What
yeah.
does that mean? It's like Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. Okay, you've got Lord of the Rings games and also other games under your remit.
Well, Coffee Stain.
But who are Coffee Stain's friends?
Is Coffee Stain, is that not a studio rather than a game? Or is it a game?
I don't think it's a game.
No, I think it's a studio, isn't
it? Might
it
be a studio.
So they're basically saying, hey,
this is like the head studio.
This is where Coffee Stain is, and also the sort of similar studios that are hang on, I'm just googling it.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee Studio Games. Coffee Studio Games, I've googled. But yeah, I think what they're saying is it's this studio, Coffee Stain, and their friends. Also, I mean, still a bad name.
Yeah.
But at least that's like a group of studios, and we've singled out one as
friends.
The sort of head. But like Middle Earth enterprises and friends. Just seems like, I don't know why you would focus on something that has a brand within it, has the Middle Earth brand. It's just going to sound weird if it's like, oh yeah, the latest Tomb Raider game is being published by Middle Earth Enterprises and friends. I guess they'll probably just say it's being published by Crystal Dynamics. But
yeah,
it's a strange set of names, I think.
Yeah, it is a bit strange. I also do think that I'm in two minds. I feel a bit, not cynical, but I feel a bit, it's a bit bitchy of me. But I almost don't want these to do well. I want Embracer and every one of those big shareholders, especially, Lars?
Lars.
I want them all to go broke. I want them to suffer because they have made so many people suffer. They've made so many people lose their jobs. I think it's only fair that they lose their jobs.
Oh, my God.
If it was me and I had failed doing my job so spectacularly like Lars had, then I think I would be sacked. And I think we should sack Lars just as a world. I think we should sack him. He's taken ownership of all the mistakes he made. And I think that that is grounds for dismissal. Off Lars.
We want Embracer to completely fold, except for everything that they own, all of those studios to be fine and just get sold on to other people or go independent.
I want them to like all collectively be able to buy themselves off of Embracer so that Embracer is only left with like, what do I want to die with Embracer?
Gollum.
Gollum. Yeah, I was thinking Gollum. They're only left with the Gollum game, and Embracer and the Gollum game die together.
Yeah.
They fade into existence. But you know what I am excited about?
Yes.
I hope we don't have to hear the words Embracer Group anymore.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we won't.
That would be nice.
Yeah. I do wonder how different this is actually going to be in terms of... So now, like, front-facing, we've got this thing where they've, like, split everything into three sort of departments, if you like. But maybe that's actually how they've always been operating behind the scenes. You know, like, we've kind of talked about how, oh, yeah, they're just this giant amorphous blob and they probably, like, no one knows what anyone else is doing and, you know, they don't even know what they own and stuff. Maybe they've always internally basically had Coffee Stain and Friends and Asmodee Group and the other one, Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. And this is now just how they're actually presenting it in terms of a business structure.
Well, they're probably able to do so more now because they don't own as much.
Yeah.
They've like had to sell off or close down so many studios. Mm-hmm. They've probably now got a much more manageable amount of staff that they can then become these three.
Yeah. So we'll see whether this actually makes any difference whatsoever to how they operate or if it's just like a kind of a front for how they release stuff now. But, you know, in kind of exactly the same way as they always have done. It's funny what you say about Embracer being such a dirty word. I saw a thing this morning before we came to record the podcast about how, you know, how Atari have repurchased / re-kind of launched Infogrames.
Oh, yeah, Soldier Boy's Atari.
Yes, Soldier Boy's Atari. He does own it, of course. I saw someone describe Infogrames. I think that's how you say it out loud rather than Infogrames because it's got an E on the end. But someone described them as basically a proto-Embracer group in that they apparently just bought loads and loads of European studios back in the day, Infogrames,
really?
And didn't really do a great deal with any of them. The main thing I know is that they did the Bugs Bunny game, which I really liked, and they purchased or maybe even developed out of Goblin Games or Goblin Studios, I think they were called, who made Hogs of War, and that's about it. Don't really know what they've done for me recently. I mean, they've not done anything for me recently because they've not really existed, but they're back. How exciting. A new Embracer Group, potentially,
Yay!
On the way. Euro Embracer Group.
When one dies, another must... When the Supreme dies, another one must find itself.
No, I'm sure... Hopefully, that's just their unfortunate legacy that they bought up a bunch of European studios, and that's not how they're going to be operating going forward. But, we'll have to watch that one with interest, see what Atari end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is one to watch as well. This Embracer thing, and I agree. I never want to hear the words again. So
yeah,
that's the one good thing that's definitely coming out of this is that we'll be able to just call them.
What was Lars's statement in that post? He said that they've always wanted to do was support small studios and help them make games.
Ah, oh, that's nice of him. When's he going to start?
That's what I was going to say. It's about time, Lars.
Yeah.
It's about flipping time.
Come on, Lars. Do
it. Jesus. Well, let us know in the comments what you think about everything we've discussed today. Do you think this is the death of Embracer, or do you think it's going to stick around that name for a long time? Also, what do you think about...
the thing they've always done.
Yeah, what do you think about the names of these studios? What do you think about those?
There's only one right answer.
Yeah. And remember... it's patriotic to see boobs.
It is.
It's unpatriotic to remove boobs.
Indeed.
Peter, where can people find us on the internet?
Oh, what's Ben going to say when he watches this back?
He's not going to watch this back. No. He's gonna be like, what did you talk about last week? And we're going to have to say boobs.
We'll say we're very sensible and we talked about Embracer Group.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes. And the word boobs didn't come up many times.
Not at all.
Yeah.
YouTube.com and twitch.tv to answer your question. /TeamTripleJump. We do all of our videos on YouTube, all of our live streams on Twitch, except occasionally, such as when we did the D&D. Hey, if you've got Amazon Prime and you're already paying for it, part of the whole bundle of things that you are already paying for includes a Twitch sub. So if you redeem that against us, you get all the benefits of being a sub at no extra cost on top of your Amazon Prime subscription.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, on all of which we are at Team Triple Jump. Come and say hello. And patreon.com/Team Triple Jump if you'd like to support us. Again, we have a website, triplej.mup. You can go there for everything we do. It's all on there. And why not leave a 5-star review? It has something to do with Al Gore's rhythms.
Hey, also, if you're still watching at this point /listening, there may be a job listing on our careers page on triplej.mup for a freelance video editor. At time of recording, we're not sure definitely whether we're going to be listing it yet or soon or at all, but I think maybe we'll probably end up doing so. So
keep
probably
an eye
there now. It's probably alive. So go and have a look at that if you're interested.
Peter, just one last time, what is the sponsor for this week's podcast?
Make prison, but do it out of...
Make prison, not war.
No, make prison, not war, but make it out of papier-mâché and old clothes and ribbons. Mm. Yeah, it's Prison Art Attack with Neil Buchanan.
Two.
Thanks. I keep forgetting the two. That's it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everyone.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
Bye. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.